Come on. Is God to be glorified today? Well, then come on and bless him with me, all right? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him what God has done for you this week. Because I know you got a testimony. I know that he woke me up. Hallelujah. I'm here and I'm great. All right, and sing this with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. It's so easy. Just sing that. Bless the Lord with me. Let me hear you sing that.
Bless the Lord with me.
Y'all sound amazing. Sing. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and sing that again. Sing bless. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Yeah. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and clap your hands. Clap your hands with me. Clap your hands with me. Sing clap your hands.
Clap your hands with me.
Sing clap your hands. Clap your hands. Come on and do your dance with me. Hey. Do your dance with me. Come on, y'all. Y'all don't know how to dance. Come on. You can move side to side. You ain't got to stay still. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Do your dance. Now sing
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and sing bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with me. Come on, tap your neighbor and say bless.
Bless the Lord with me.
Now turn to the other side and sing bless.
Bless the Lord with me.
Give your neighbor a high five. Say bless.
Bless the Lord with me.
Come on and sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on and sing praise the Lord with me.
Praise the Lord with me.
Come on and sing that out. Sing lift your voice with me.
Lift your voice with me.
I want to hear you sing that out.
Lift your voice with me. Lift your voice with me. Lift your voice with me.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on and give God the highest praise and sing hallelujah. Lift your hands and sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For everything you've done, I'll sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Cause you raised my head, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, one more time, sing bless the Lord.
Come on and bless the Lord with me.
Yeah, y'all sound amazing.
Bless the Lord with me.
Sing bless the Lord with me. Come on and sing praise the Lord with me.
Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord.
Come on and sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah. Cause I know when I praise your name, you open a window of heaven and pour out a blessing.
Hallelujah.
And I like being blessed, so sing hallelujah.
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 Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise and let him know that you are blessed. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for blessing me. Hallelujah.
Come on, lift up a praise for Jesus. Thank you.
unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Oh, impossible things in your name they shall be done.
Oh, unstoppable God,
unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name they shall be done.
Come on and give your God a praise.
I don't want another Sunday. Anybody interested in just another day? I'm not interested in just another 9 o'clock service. Man, can we do something real quick? Because I don't believe we're just in church. I believe we're in the presence of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, come on, there is freedom, there's liberty, there's joy, there's peace, everything that we're looking for. And what I know is, it's not about God showing up, because he's here. The Bible says that the earth and in the fullness, he's right here. It's an awareness of him right here. So here's what I want to do, because I'm not interested in another Sunday. We did this at 7:15 prayer. We're going to do it again. Can you just put your hand right on your heart real quick? And we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm kidding. Let's just pray this together. Come on. Because I don't want an uncommon church. I don't want a common church experience. Ready? Let's pray this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I serve an uncommon God. So I'm not going to give you common praise. I'm not going to give you common worship. I'm not going to have common expectation. So today, I determine in my heart to give you uncommon worship, to have an uncommon desire for you, to have uncommon results. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands. And let's not let that just be words that we said together. Let that be our action as we move forward in the rest of this morning and the rest of our life. Come on, let's worship uncommon today.
Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love your presence, Father. You are so great. You're so great, Lord. And great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
God's going to show it so we can heal it. Right on the top of the kneecap, rolling right across. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing into her body right now. Father, you made the knee to be whole, and you wouldn't show it unless you wanted to bring wholeness to it. even as the leper said, who said, if you intend, Lord, we know that you intend to heal. That's why by your stripes we were healed and we are healed. So I speak to the knee, I speak, Father, to the tendons, to the bone, to the cartilage, to be whole in the mighty name of Jesus from this day forward. You agree with it? You believe he's the healer? Amen. Go ahead, Miss Julie, you want to move that around? How's it feel? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Let's just lift our hands, and I want to end. I want to end greater than we started this morning. I'm not a religious person at all. I don't like religion, but I like touching heaven. I like worshiping the Father. I like giving ministry to the Father. Come on, let's end strong this morning. Come on, from the back to the front, let's sing this together. Come on. There you go. Come on, oh, lift up that voice. Come on, let them know he's faithful in every situation, in every trouble, in every time, every mountain and every valley. He's faithful. Go ahead, come on. Come on, if he deserves it, let him hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Up this morning. He's so great. Did he wake you up this morning? Did he give you life this morning? Did he give you breath in your lungs this morning? He is great. He is worthy to be praised. Whatever you have need of, he's here. Whatever your desires are, he's here. Whatever you've been burdened with, he's here. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love that's unconditional. Cannot even be measured up to. Father, we're not here today just to do church. We're here to meet with a heavenly Father. We're here, Lord God, to receive and to hear from the throne room of heaven. That's why we're here, God. We're not here to do church. This is your house. This is your service. We are your people. Show us, declare to us, speak to us today. Thank you for being with us and spending time with us. Jesus. I believe in my heart and I sense in my spirit that the Lord wants to bring some healing to some wounds and hearts. There's people that have been burdened with guilt and shame. And they feel like they don't measure up. I'm here to declare to you that our God, he's full of grace and mercy. He is a forgiving Father. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to save. So today, Lord, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for your forgiveness, Lord God, upon your people.
I'm asking, Father, for those burdens to be lifted right now in the name of Jesus, for the guilt and shame to be no longer. And I right now rebuke the accuser of the brethren. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic force and diabolical power that would try to come and steal, kill, and to destroy. In the name of Jesus, we bring every thought and imagination that would rise itself up against the knowledge of Christ, and we bring it into captivity in Jesus' name. Right now, Father. Holy Ghost, I pray right now that you're going to speak to us and show us that's not me speaking, that's not me talking, that's not me saying that. That's the enemy. Father, set us free, Lord. In the name of Jesus. It's in your presence, Lord. It's in your presence. Freedom, liberty, joy, peace. Jesus, thank you so much for allowing us to enjoy this moment. But not just enjoy this moment, but every single one moving forward. Encourage everybody in here. We're not a quick moving church. We want God to do what he's got to do. But his presence is so real. Everybody just close your eyes. I want you to take a deep breath in and let it out. Breathe in again and let it out. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you are. Lord, where would we be? Who would we be? Thank you for allowing us to just take a moment, settle in our hearts, our minds, everything that's going on in our lives, to just acknowledge you. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. So amazing. You're so amazing. You ever get in that place where you don't want to move? You know there's more to do. You know that the service has to continue. But you just don't want to move. It's like sitting in front of a movie and somebody says, "Hey, come here." And you're like, no. You see, this is what it's about every single moment of our lives, is taking this moment, taking a deep breath. And you know, when we breathe in, we're breathing him. So don't take these moments that we have right now for granted. Don't take these moments, because there's people across this world that don't get to worship like we get to worship. Amen. They don't get to come boldly before the throne of God easily like we can. So let's not take this for granted. These are moments where we can meet with our Heavenly Father, hear from him, and know what he is doing. Amen? You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, there's like a somber mood, but these are moments where you get quiet. And you listen to him. It's not about a man or a woman and what they say. It's about what God's speaking. God's speaking to everybody different. Let me ask you a question. For those of you that are in this room, honestly, raise your hand if the Lord just spoke to you this morning. If you heard the Lord speak to you this morning, raise your hand. What does that tell us? That tells us that he's no respecter of persons. But for those of you that didn't raise your hand, it's not to condemn you. It's to say he wants to speak to you too. And so he wants to speak to every one of us. We've just got to quiet our minds. Amen. Now listen, I want you guys to give a shout of praise to God who he should be getting all the glory. I want you. You guys were ahead of me. I was going to give you a countdown, but come on. Come on. Come on. You see, when he's here, you need to praise him. When he's here, you need to give him glory. Come on. Listen. You know, you all there in the back, you guys need to be louder than up here. You guys ready? Are you ready? In the back, on the count of three. One, two, three. Woo. I could do better than that. Woo. All right, everybody in the room, on the count of three. One, two, three. Awesome, awesome. Hey, listen, on your way back to your chair, go shake a few hands, go hug on some people, give some high fives, and say to your family, I love you.
Settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Easter is right around the corner, and we are so excited to announce that we're about to have the best, biggest Easter egg hunt you can think of. But with this, we need volunteers, eggs, and candy. So if you could bring your donations to the His Kids desk any Sunday between now and Easter, that would be great.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our Next Steps classes offered here at His Tabernacle. If you want to build an amazing foundation on the Word of God and learn how to lead people with integrity and knowledge, then you want to join Next Steps. At the Horseheads campus, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. are our Next Steps classes. At Horseheads and Ithaca campus, Thursdays at 6 o'clock is when they're taught. I want to see you there. I want to see you get equipped and built up in the Word of God.
Hello, His Tabernacle. My name is Jennifer Larson, and I would like to share a powerful testimony about groups. So when we finally started a group, it has really pushed my husband and I to the next level because we feel like we are shepherds to our sheep. It has turned into not just a group, but a family. And that's what I like to call it because we don't have any family here. We really didn't even know anybody in the area when we came. And it has really helped us grow spiritually because we're now digging into the Word more and responsible for being sound doctrinally. I am just so thankful that groups has brought us not only a family, but has connected other people in the community to His Tabernacle, and we are just seeing souls grown and saved for the kingdom of God. So it is imperative that you join a group, even if that is your next level on your faith ball this year. Join a group and become part of the family of God. Have fun with it, grow together, be able to depend on one another, and grab a couple people while you're doing it. I am so excited for the next level that God is bringing us to, and I hope that you also are excited as well. Thank you so much for letting me share my testimony with you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are y'all doing this morning? I need a shout on the count of three because y'all are kind of tired this morning, a little lethargic. I know it might be raining outside, but the Bible declares that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wasn't tired. I wasn't lethargic. I wasn't attitudinal. I was glad. Amen? So on the count of three, can we give a shout of gladness? One, two, three. Yes, yes, we are so excited you are here in the house. If you are a guest in the house, this is your first time attending, can I just see you just lift up your hand? We want to just celebrate you. Awesome, come on, give it up for our first time guest. Awesome, if you could just keep your hands lifted up, we have a gift that's coming your way. Inside you will find a mug, some information about our church, but we have one right here in the center. Ms. Larson. But most importantly, we want to invite you to our guest reception after service. It's going to be on this side of the building right afterwards. It's going to be some coffee, some pastries to get to meet some people from the staff. But above all, we just want to say thank you. There are hundreds of churches you could have chose, but you chose to be in His Tabernacle Family Church today. So let's put our hands together one more time for our guests. We celebrate you guys. We honor you guys. Thank you so much. So April is going to be such a busy, exciting month. We cannot wait. We have Easter coming up. Who's excited for Easter? Yeah, yeah. Make sure that you're checking your bulletin. There's so many activities around that at all of our campuses. We'll be having Easter egg hunts. We're going to be having powerful services. You do not want to miss that. Starting next Sunday. Next Sunday is incredibly busy. We are going to be working with Pastor Aaron to be stuffing the eggs for the Easter egg hunt. There are tens of thousands of eggs to stuff. So if you want to donate some of your time next Sunday after church, please find Pastor Aaron and we'd be more than happy to solicit your help. In addition, we are selling candles in the foyer to raise money. Yeah, come on, worship team. The proceeds will be going towards a electric drum set at Ithaca campus. We are excited that God is expanding His Tabernacle Family Church. It first started off in a one little hotel room, but here we are going on multiple campuses across the country and across the world. So we are excited that every candle that you buy, it is going directly towards to building the kingdom, specifically at Ithaca campus. In addition, and I love that he's not here, so I get to talk to about him a little bit. Our senior pastor, oh, he has a birthday coming up, y'all. And I know that he thinks that he's like 25, but he's not. Oh, boy. But we absolutely love to honor and to celebrate our pastor during his birthday time. One of the principles that he has instilled in us as a staff, as people that every day we show up to work, but also you and I, is that honor is so key. There's so many guests that come into our church, even from our past Empower Summit, and they kept on saying one thing: your honor and your hospitality is through the roof. And there's something that comes with honor. It is access. Say access. Say access. And I love that our pastors, that they don't just talk about honor, but they also exemplify honor. They also honor their staff. They honor their kids. Within their marriage, they honor each other. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Spencer, riding on a lawnmower back in the 90s, heard the voice of God to say, start his Tabernacle Family Church and tell the people, you that are sitting in your seat today, that God loves you. That God loves you. It is that simple. And he said yes to the call. The sacrifices along the way, the things that they have given up, all the times that they've had people turn their back on them, all the times in which they stood up here and they've preached and they wanted to ensure that you were built up time and time again. I want to give you the opportunity to honor that gift. So I want you to just begin to think and pray throughout this week. Number one, pray for your pastor. Please, please pray for your pastor. He's human. He's human. And the staff said amen. He's human. He needs prayer as much as you and I do. He needs prayer as much as your family does. But in addition to that, I want you to think about how we can honor him next week through a gift for his birthday. We're going to celebrate with a birthday song, with some cupcakes. But think about how honorable it would be if we can say, Pastor, I want to bless you with this. Pastor, it has been on my heart all week. Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it's not about the monetary figure. It's about the heart to say, I would love to honor you and to thank you for listening to the call of God on your life, to thank you for saying yes, and to thank you for saying that you could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here in Horseheads, New York, pouring into me, pouring into you, pouring into our church family. So I just give a round of applause for our senior pastors. We're thankful for Pastor Michael Spencer. We're thankful that he has answered the call, and I'm excited to celebrate with you guys next week as we honor our pastor. Amen? Amen. At this time, we'll have the ushers hand out the offering envelopes. We're moving into our time of tithes and offerings. But before we get into that, I want to just ask you guys a question. Who has ever given a gift and you hope it turned out okay? Like you just weren't sure if it was going to be great. Okay, you must be like excellent gift givers. Okay, be proud about it. Who here has given a gift and you said, I hope the other person likes it? Okay, especially during Christmas time, right? Now, I do something kind of dangerous during Christmas. No, there's like 90% of the gifts and I actually like them to think about. But there's always one. There's always one gift that my wife wants. She always likes a package from Mary Kay. And as you can probably guess, I don't know much about the Mary Kay product line. So what I do is I set aside a certain amount of money and I give it to our Mary Kay rep. And I just say, whatever you put together, I hope she likes it. I hope she likes it. And each year it's been like phenomenal. It's been great. It's been awesome. But I found out last night that there was a anti-aging cream in this past Christmas gift, Robin. And I had to look to her and I say, I did not specify for you to get an anti-aging cream. Please do not think that was me doing that on purpose, okay? She looks much younger than me, actually. But you see, sometimes there are times that we will give a gift and we just hope it works. And I think that sometimes we often have that same philosophy when it comes to giving, that I hope this thing works. I hope that what Pastor Rhonda teaches, it works. I hope what I learned in financial peace, it works. I hope what Carla would teach me, it works. I just hope that what's in this scripture is going to work. But I want to give you the assurance that it is not a hope. It is an assurance. Amen. That I can be sure about the principles of giving, sowing, tithing. That I can be sure. And the Bible declares in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, it's an encounter that Noah is having with Jesus, with God. and he gives an offering. Say offering. Say offering. He gives an offering, and this is what God begins to say. There are two important principles I want you to get out of this. The assurance of your offering. Number one is that the curse will stop in your life. That the curse will be broken in your life. God said that no longer will I ever curse the ground on your behalf. That a curse has been brought upon the curse. How exciting is that? That when I give, I know that the curse that has been attacked, that has been birthed in my past, and it's attacking my present, will be stopped. But also, the Bible goes on to say in verse 22, that seed time and harvest will always remain. That means that into my future, I can be confident that my harvest is coming. Amen? I can be confident that my harvest is coming. So with your offering, it is two simple principles. Number one is that the curse is broken. And number two is that my harvest is coming. No longer will I be chained to the past. No longer will I have to suffer from generational curses. No longer will I have to wake up every day and saying what my mama went through, what my grandmama went through, what my great-grandmama went through, I have to go through. With an offering, I can break that curse. But it's not just going to stop what's been happening. It's to pave a way for what God has for you. That with seed time and harvest, I can put a demand on the word that as I plant seed, harvest will come. That as I sow a seed into good ground, and who can declare that this church is good ground? Amen. This is good ground. This is good ground. Every dollar that goes into this church, every time you give a tithe or an offering, it goes into good ground. Souls are being saved. Bodies are being healed. Families are being restored. Children are being poured into. The sick are being healed. The homeless are given a place to stay. The hungry, they're being fed. This is good ground. And with that, the harvest, it will perpetually come, not just to you, but to you, everything that be connected to you. Amen. If you just stand up to your feet, I am excited that with my giving today, the curse is broken and the harvest is coming. Repeat after me. With my offering today, the curse is broken and the harvest is coming. The curse is broken and the harvest is coming. So if I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Now, only if you believe this, I don't care what the bank account says. I don't care what the bills on your kitchen table say. I don't care what the car is in your driveway. I don't care how the siding is on your house. Let this be a prophetic decree. What you're about to say, let it break the curse. Let it bring in the harvest. Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. One more time. I'm blessed. You could come out of your seats and bring your offering to the Lord. If you would like to give via text, we have those instructions on the envelopes. If you're watching online, click on the giving button. You can go and give very quickly. We're so thankful that you are on your path to the curse being broken and the harvest coming into your life.
Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me.
Sing hallelujah.
Bless the Lord with me.
Amen. Anybody doing good this morning? Awesome. Well, as Pastor Obi said, our pastors are out doing ministry at another church right outside of Chicago. And man, we're blessed that they can go and God is using them. And let's just pray for them real quick. And then let's get right into the service today because it's already 10 o'clock and I want to get out of here because I'm hungry. No, I'm playing. I am hungry. That's normal in my life. I'm always hungry. But Father, we just thank you for Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda. Lord, the calling on their life, what you've been able to send them to do. Lord, thank you for the vision you placed in their heart for this house. As we go forward, Lord, I pray that everything you've spoken will be accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hey, has anybody here been on a cruise? Wave your hand at me if you've been on a cruise. Okay, I have not been on a cruise, so if I'm like 1,000% wrong, judge me after, okay? Let's play a game. I want you to imagine that you're out on a cruise. And you're sitting on the top deck, like literally, like you can shut your eyes. Like I was doing this last night, thinking about how good it could be. You're sitting on the top deck. It's you, your wife, or you, your husband. Your kids are in the pool. You can hear them laughing. There's not a cloud in the sky. It is perfect. It is like a Disney cruise. The kids are away. You're sitting there. Your wife is tanning. You want to go do something, like play a game. Shut up. Like, I'm just imagining my wife, babe, let's go to the arcade. Let's do something fun. Shut up. I'm tanning. It's been 12 months of winter. The virgin pina coladas are the most amazing you've ever had in your whole life. Keyword virgin. You order a steak. I would. You order a steak, a 16-ounce bone-in prime rib. I don't like fillets. They don't got enough flavor. There's no fat in a fillet. It gets delivered right on the top deck. Now, the sun is shining down. There is no clouds. It is beautiful. Perfect setting. Not a care in the world. And they set down your medium rare 16-ounce bone-in steak with mashed potatoes that have been whipped with garlic and butter. Oh, my gosh. Woo! Some Brussels sprouts that are salt and pepper. You don't like Brussels sprouts? You're wrong. And it gets set down, and the moment it gets set down, you hear the crack of a weapon. And the whole entire boat is just rocked. Everyone starts screaming. Everyone's looking around. And you look out. Remember, it's a perfect setting. And you look up, and there's another vessel coming directly at you. And you realize you were on a cruise ship, but it's a time of war. And you were on a cruise ship, and it was actually supposed to be a warship. That where you were was the wrong place at the wrong time and the wrong vessel. And I want to challenge you a little bit this morning. I'm not going to spank you. I want to help awaken you to the fact that the church isn't called to be a cruise ship. We're called to be a battleship. That there's people going to hell. That there's people that need Jesus. There's things that the kingdom of God needs to fully manifest itself into. And too often we live like we're on a cruise ship, but God has called us to war. See, when we get off mission, when we change our mindset to comfort, to what we were created for, it's easy to get offended, it's easy to get upset, it's easy to be mad that so-and-so took your seat, or so-and-so was rude in the parking lot, or so-and-so forgot to ask you to do such and such. But when we're on mission, when we're locked into what God has called us to do, and who God has called us to be, and what he's called to us accomplish as a church, man, the offense, the agitations, all those things are forgotten because we're busy at hand doing what we've been called to do. See, we have a vision here at his tabernacle, and I want to read it to you because I believe this is what we're running after. This, not as pastors, not as just individuals, but together this is what we're running towards. See, I don't want to be a part of a team or a family that's running in 100 different directions and we just come together for a reunion on Sundays. No, I want a Sunday to be a rally point for me to where, no, this is what God did all week and this is where we're going and this is what he's called us to. And we're running at it, not alone, but we're running at it together. See, his Tabernacle Family Church will become a multi-site. Can I tell you, we're seeing this right now? We have Ithaca that had 146 people last week. Amen. Pastor Dan is launching shortly after Easter. They just did their first small group down in Mansfield, Wellsboro. We're going for the region. Regional gathering place where thousands of people from every single culture will experience God's love, acceptance, and forgiveness, not through the pastors, but through his people and the pastors. Our focus is clear. Win people to Jesus Christ in the marketplace. Each child, youth, and adult will be empowered through practical teaching from the Word of God. Next steps, come, go to groups. To become future leaders in the church, family, government, business, education, arts, and media. We will develop hundreds of connection groups. We already have over 50 that will build a sense of community. We'll also reach out to externally by starting ministry centers in surrounding communities. Our commitment to developing future leaders from within will be done by growing the educational departments of Next Steps, Rock Solid Faith, and Remnant Bible Institute. Man, that's why we're here. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here for fun. And those things, they come. Pastor preaches a great message. We have awesome events. But we're here to see the lost come to Christ. We're here to see the dead come alive inside of Jesus. We're not here for fun. We're not here for the entertainment. We're here for a mission. And I want to challenge you to be on mission today. Because we have an enemy who's actively seeking to destroy people's lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this. And I want to read this version. It says, be sober or well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil. If you didn't know you have an enemy, we have an enemy. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. See, if we're out on a carnival ship, I need you to know that there's an enemy who's trying to destroy us. And I don't want to see your ship go down. I don't want to see this ship go down. It won't happen. In the kingdom of God, there's increase from glory to glory, from mountaintop to mountaintop, from faith to faith. There's always greater. There's always more. And when we come together and we decide to stay on mission, when we decide to say, you know what? It's about the lost. It's about the dying. It's about those who need Jesus. I'm telling you, this is an unstoppable force. I have some scary statistics I'd love to share with you real quick. They just put out that Generation Z, which is our youth right now, atheism has doubled amongst that generation. Guys, that's a big deal. Atheism has doubled amongst the future of our nation and our generation. Also, 34% of non-Christians or lapsed Christians, people that have walked away from Christ, have not had the gospel shared with them whatsoever. 34%. This body, this house, primarily reaches Chemung County and Steuben County. In Chemung County, there's a little over 85,000 people. And in Steuben County, I was surprised by this, there's 96,000 people, which equals 181,000 people. So if we do the math, which I'm not great at math, so I rounded. If there's 34% that have not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means there's over 60,000 people that haven't had an opportunity to know who Jesus is. Got 60,000 people? Like over double Elmira? In our direct area, in our backyard, hasn't heard about Jesus? I know that we need to be on mission because there's something we need to do. There's at least 60,000 people that haven't heard about Jesus statistically. And there's probably another 100,000 that don't attend or aren't a part of a church whatsoever. I didn't come to yell at you. I didn't come to be mean to you. I came to challenge your heart today. That we're here not just to have a great life. We're not here just to have 2.5 kids, a good 401k, to move into our dream house. Not to have a great career. Those things are awesome and they're good inside of Jesus. But can I tell you, that's not why we're here. We're here because there's a dying, lost world that needs Jesus. And we're called to take a risk and share Jesus with them. See, a lot of people in the church, we don't mind being a witness of things. We don't mind being a witness of our favorite sports team. We don't mind being a witness of our job. We don't mind being a witness of the wraps that we're selling. We don't mind being a witness of many things. But are we truly a witness of Jesus? See, I know that God is calling us to step up. To be a part of something bigger, to be a part of something that absolutely changes and transforms our region. I know in Acts 17, verse 6b, it says this, the ones that have turned the world upside down, they've come here as well. And we tell this verse to the teenagers all the time, and this is what your school can say about you, your family can say about you. But can I tell you, as adults, the same thing can be said about us. When we show up at work, that's the one that shared Jesus with the boss and everybody got saved. That's the one that showed up and the whole stadium ended up. Somehow they got a microphone and the whole stadium heard about Jesus. Somehow, that's the one that turned the world upside down. Can we be hungry to be the one in our generation? Can we be the one that's hungry in our family, our circle of influence, our workplace, that says, I'm not going to let these people not know about the goodness of God. Amen. See, in Luke chapter 15, we find a parable of verse 8 through 10. We find a parable, and this is called the woman with the lost coin. And the Bible says it like this. It says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and the neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found the lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I mean, see, we go to great lengths for lost money. We go to great lengths for lost joy and lost peace. But what length are we willing to go for lost souls? This woman, for one silver coin, was willing to light a lamp, willing to sweep, willing to check under everything. And then when she found one coin, just one, not ten, she didn't lose the ten, she just lost one. She was willing to go and tell her neighbors and throw a party rejoicing that I found my lost coin. Man, the angels in heaven have such a reality, such a weight, such a knowledge of the importance of that one soul. And I believe we need to come back to that weight and that knowledge. See, what if we were on a constant treasure hunt for the lost? See, you never see how this woman, you don't see, well, she was ashamed of losing the coin. She was ashamed of searching for the coin, so she was really quiet about it. We don't see that. We see that she was rejoicing. She lit everything up. She searched everywhere for the one. What would it look like as a church if we talked about finding the lost? If when we brought somebody to Jesus, it was a party. It wasn't just, oh yeah, we shared Jesus and somebody accepted. No, it was a party. See, we look for the lost coin because of the weight of the lost coin. It's not just one, it's one with an eternity. It's not just one, it's one with a name, with a purpose and a plan. It's not just one with a plan and a purpose, but it's one who needs what Jesus has literally died for on the cross. We do this because heaven and hell are real. Like, I don't say that with low weight. Like, heaven and hell are real. And eternity is the reality of both destinations. See, my deepest regret is not sharing Jesus in high school with the kids that I could have. My deepest regret is walking by the people that I know God had called me in the moment to share his goodness and his love with. It's crazy because there's no second chance for these people. There's not another option. I'll have you shouting by the end of this, but right now I just want to be real. There's not a second chance for them. We can't light some candles and pray for them. We can't throw extra money into the bucket for their salvation. When eternity is reached, that is our landing point. That is where we are. Unfortunately, or fortunately, that is the reality. I mean, just imagine what one person in hell would do for just one moment of an escape. They would do anything for any amount of moments. For it, literally, there would be no stoppage. There would be no limit for what they do. And it breaks my heart because often we're quiet. Often we're silent. Often we just pass things by. We let people walk by every single day, knowing their reality and knowing that we have the antidote, knowing we have the answer for what they're looking for. And they might not even know that they're looking for it, but we have the answer. See, I saw a question about a month ago online, and it said this. It says, is what you're living for worth what Jesus died for? And man, I want to live for souls because that's what Jesus died for. When I look back 10 years, it was crazy, guys, I feel old.
I know you're laughing at me. We hold this real quick. I take this jacket off. I feel old right now. They just started planning my 10-year reunion. I feel old. It's weird. I know, 10 years, crazy. But I look back at 10 years ago and I have regret that I didn't share Jesus. And I've made a commitment that I'll never look back 10 years and ever regret that I didn't do what Jesus told me to do, that I didn't step up, that I didn't go as far, I didn't go as high, I didn't go as long, I didn't do everything that he asked me to. And as a body, as a church, as a family, as a community, I want us all to be able to say the same thing. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 4. He said, I've done everything you asked me to do on earth, bringing glory to your name. If the goal is to be like Jesus, I'm going to say what Jesus said. I don't want to say, well, I did everything on earth I was comfortable with, bringing glory to your name. I did everything on earth that was convenient, bringing glory to your name. No, I want to do everything on earth that you've asked me to, bringing glory to your name. In 10 years, what will your story be? Will it be a regret or will it be, no, I went all in with Jesus. I went all in on what he asked me to do. I didn't hold anything back. I wasn't quiet. I wasn't silent. There was no stopping me. See, the heart of Jesus in this topic, if we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38, is so powerful. What happened is, Jesus was standing in front of a vast crowd, according to Matthew chapter 9. And when he looked at them, the Bible says, he looked and he was moved with compassion. See, the Jewish people, they thought that the heart or feelings were down in the bowels. Literally, he was so moved that he could feel it down into his stomach with that pain for what they were going through. He had such a compassion, he was moved into his stomach. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They were broken. They needed. They were helpless. They were weary, like wandering sheep. And Jesus did this as he's standing in front of this vast crowd. The Bible says he turned to his disciples and he said it like this. He said, the harvest is huge and it's ripe, but there are not enough laborers. How sad is it that Jesus died on the cross so that everybody could come to repentance, so that not one would be lost. But he had to turn, and standing in front of only 5,000, he had to turn and look at his 12 disciples and say, the harvest is ready, but there's not enough of you that have stepped up. There's not enough of you to pull the harvest in, and there's a season for a harvest. There's a time for a harvest. And I believe right now we're standing in a time where people are searching. We have Easter in 3 weeks. This perfect time right now, not to invite people to church, but to share the goodness of God with them. He said, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Jesus, standing there, knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew he was going to make the ultimate sacrifice of his life. He knew he was going to die for their salvation, so they didn't have to be weary, they didn't have to be searching, they didn't have to be lost and broken anymore. Just imagine the heart of God as he's standing there in front of the crowd and saying, all of these are ready. But the harvest, there's not enough laborers that have stepped up. To think that there's 60,000 people in our county that Jesus died for that might have never heard about his love and about his goodness and about his forgiveness, about his wholeness. Man, that's heartbreaking. I can't imagine what it does to the heart of God. It's wild because he looked at his disciples after that in verse 38 and he said, as you go. See, it was implied that if you considered yourself a disciple, you were also a harvester. Today, I need you to understand, if you're a disciple of Christ, it doesn't mean you're a church attender. It doesn't mean you read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Those are pieces of it. But if we're a true disciple of Christ, we're also a harvester for Christ. That we're not going to be silent. We're not going to be hidden. We're not going to be in the background. But we're going to be unashamed of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He said, as you go.
Look, we're going to leave this place today, and as you go, you're going to go to work, and as you go, you're going to go to your to a baseball game for your grandkids or your nephews or your children, and as you go, it's an implication that we're winning the harvest. Why not you? Why not us? Why not this region? What if we did? And this is what he said. As you go, pray to the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers. Man, that word pray doesn't mean like, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the food. And also thank you that people are going to get saved. Amen. That word pray literally means to beg. To plead with God that more people would step up and go to win. The word send doesn't mean when it's comfortable. It means to thrust people into a harvest field. He's literally saying, as you go, pray, beg me that people are going to be thrown into their harvest field. Beg that people are going to be launched and sent with the compassion that I had to win the lost. Man, even sitting right here, I'm sure we can all think of 5, 10, 15, 20 people that need to know about this Jesus we serve. If we're ever going to do this, we need to start seeing people with the eyes of Jesus, though. So often when we see people, we look at their clothes, we look at their accent, or we hear their accent, we ask what their job title is, their position, we make a judgment on them. But the last judgment we often make is about their eternity. The last thing we often do when we meet somebody or we see somebody is we ask God, what's their eternity look like? See, I challenge you to start shifting how we see people and stop just looking at their clothing and what they represent and who they might say that they are and start asking Jesus, what's their eternity look like? In 1 Samuel 16, when the prophet went to find a new king, he was rebuked because he looked, he was yelled at, he was told he was wrong because he looked at the firstborn and said, surely this is the one that God's chosen. And God looked and he said, no, I don't look at the outward of a man like you do, I look at the heart. Yeah. Imagine what our life would look like if we started to look at the heart of people and not just the outside. Yeah. Jesus said that people are ready. Realize every single person at any moment could come to Christ? Well, not that one. You don't know about that one. You don't know what they were doing last night. Man, if Paul can come to Christ, your friend that was at the bar, that got arrested, that did such and such and such and such, the atheist that declares they'll never serve Jesus, the person that's been the loudest that God is not real, can I tell you, if Paul can come to Christ, anybody can come to Christ. And what I've learned, I'm serious, it's so true. What I've learned more and more is in people's badness, they're actually searching for goodness. In their alcoholism, they're searching for freedom. Inside of the adultery, they're looking for love. Inside of the rejection of Christ, they're responding out of fear. In badness, people are really looking for goodness. That should be an opportunity. There's not enough laborers. The reality is no one else is coming. We're responsible for our generation. We're responsible for our region. We're responsible for our cities, our workplaces, our families, and our circles of influence. It's not pastor that's responsible for it. It's us that's responsible for us. This is an us thing, not a we thing. This is an us and a me thing. And we need to make a commitment that I'm not going to just let people walk by. I'm not just going to go through the motions and have a lack of an understanding that Jesus is coming and heaven and hell are real. Man, it just breaks my heart to think that the cashier at Jubilee, the waitress as we leave, the co-workers, the employees, these people that don't know Jesus, they have an eternity, but have we weighed their eternity in our heart? Man, I don't want to be a church that's just a club. I don't want to be a place where we just come and we hear a good word and we're entertained and we go home. I'm not interested in being a part of that. I'm interested in being a part of this worship, a part of what God has created us and called us to be. That says, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to go and I'm going to win. I'm going to share the goodness of God. I'm going to share the love of Jesus. I'm going to share the cross, the forgiveness of God. Because there's a lost, dying world that needs Jesus. And if we could all individually take a risk, imagine what our community would look like. Man, I challenge teenagers on this all the time. On September 16th, we're going to challenge teenagers to go to their school, and we're asking the question, what if you share Jesus that day? What if 10 kids come to Jesus? What if 50? What if 100? What if 1,000? What if your whole school gets saved because you answered what if? But let's ask the question for ourselves. Let's practice what we're going to challenge. What if we go to school? What if we go to our workplace and all of our employees start getting saved? I just heard a story of a young man that went to a CVS, like CVS. Had a word of wisdom. By the way, God wants to speak to you just as he did about the knee this morning. He wants to speak to you and people's needs. Learned that somebody needed, by God, that they needed healing. Said, hey, I feel like this and this is going wrong in your life. And God told me, can I pray for you? Person gets healed. Falls down. Like, I thought people only fell down at church. Nope. It's the power of God. No one even trained them to fall down. Weird. It's not fake. Falls down. Person down the aisle is like, oh my gosh, they died. No, it's the goodness and the healing of God. They get healed. They get saved. The worker is like, yo, you got to stop killing people in the store. I need to make my marks for the day. I got goals to hit. Can't kill my customers, scare them off. Start sharing the goodness of God with him and the reality of what just happened. The worker lets a kid, get on the intercom. God's moving in aisle 4. If you need to be healed, aisle 4. Please bring a mop bucket, clean up on aisle 4. The CVS shows up in aisle 4, and people are getting healed. Saved, set free, delivered. To the point that there's not anybody else standing in CVS, including the employees. See, what would it look like, other than your boss maybe being a little upset until they got touched by God? What would it look like if you took the risk? What would it look like if you started to share Jesus, if you refused to be silent at your workplace? Well, my workplace has rules. Well, not during your lunch break, they don't. So I think the question comes down is, will you answer the call? I was pondering a couple reasons why some people don't answer the call. You see, in reality, if you want your kids to serve Christ, you need to set the standard for them serving Christ. And if you want your kids to share Christ, you need to set the standard for them sharing Christ. And it should be a part of our lifestyle, not just expected of our kids. But Matthew chapter 26, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's about to literally give his life. He's about to die on the cross. This is a big moment for Jesus. And this is what happens. He's praying in the garden and he says this prayer. He says, Lord, if this cup can pass me by, take it. Like, I don't even blame him. That's a big deal. Like, I'm going to die on the cross for the sin of the world. I've never felt the weight of sin. I'm going to die. It's a big deal. I don't blame him for saying the prayer. But the second part of the prayer is what made it so powerful. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. See, I think we won't answer the call until we spend our own time in Gethsemane. Until we go and we get real with God. When we completely surrender to his will and not our will. And when we go to the garden, man, and we accept the fullness of our purpose in Christ, because we lay down our will, our desires, our fears, and take up the cross. That's when power starts to move in your life. I think even as some of the teenagers, man, and even some of us, I think too many of us were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's wild to me because people are unashamed of going to hell. Like Monday morning, they don't mind talking about what happened Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But we're ashamed of what Jesus has done in our life. How could we be ashamed that we got healed? How could we be ashamed that depression, anxiety were cast out of our life by Jesus Christ? How could we be ashamed that the depression that was living and lingering over us was destroyed by the love of Jesus? How could we be ashamed that the anger, the alcoholism, the bondage, all of those things were gone and broken by the love of Jesus? How could we be ashamed that we had an eternity that was destined for hell, but now because of Jesus, I can live live inside of righteousness and I can have an eternity in heaven. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus did. How can we be ashamed of that if the world's not ashamed of their sin? We know the verse, but Romans 1:16, it says, and there's two different versions, because you know I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power. We know it, but I love these verses. It says, I refuse to be ashamed. I mean, if we're going to answer this call, we got to go to our Gethsemane. We got to make a commitment. I refuse to be ashamed. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to be quiet. See, God gave us a level of influence, not to elevate ourselves, not to have more fight, but to elevate him. And I'm not ashamed because I know I only rose because of him. Another version says, I am not the least bit embarrassed. And I won't shy away from it. Because it is God's power to save every person who believes. First the Jew, then the non-Jew. I am not the least bit embarrassed about the gospel. I won't shy away from it. See, you want to know is rumbles, they turn to roars when more people hop in. See, what I love is we got some young guys who are hungry for the things of God. They're in schools. They're out. Hey, let's go to lunch. Get a kid in a car. Boom, here's the gospel. No one's safe. We got young guys. We got, man, you guys too. I'm not saying you don't share Jesus. I'm saying Jesus is coming. We need a reality in our heart every single day. And we can turn a rumble into a roar. In reality, there's about 1,200 people that come to His Tabernacle Family Church throughout the week. That means if each of us, not the person next to you, but if each of us made a commitment, we'd have to reach, man, like I said, I'm not good at math, we'd each have to reach like 140 people. But well, we got to start somewhere. Your circle of influence, your friends, your workplace, your employees, you, me, your neighbor. That's how rumbles turn to roars. And we got a couple rumbles going in this church, man. We got people, we got whole families being saved. We got whole friend groups starting to come to Jesus. But if we want to make some momentum, it's each of us and it's all of us. Stepping up and saying, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to sit back. Some people that have a fear of persecution. Guess what? The Bible says that persecution will come. Persecution is like a pat on the back saying you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you know what else I've noticed is either way, people are probably still going to gossip about you. They're either going to start telling people that you're stupid or what you were doing last weekend. They're still going to gossip. But when they start gossiping, did you hear what that freak did? Did you hear they went to church and they got saved and they won't come to the bar anymore because this guy named Jesus? You realize they're sharing the gospel themselves through their gossip? I'd rather let their gossip share the gospel of Jesus Christ than their gossip be about what I was doing last Friday and it was just as sinful as them. Let their gossip share the gospel, share the good news. Persecution's a pat on the back. There's a man of God named David Wilkerson. If you don't know who he is, he started Teen Challenge. He started all these amazing things. He went to New York City to preach. And one of the gang leaders, this is like the 50s and 60s when they had the switchblades, all the cool stuff. I don't mess with that stuff, man. That's not me. I'd cut my whole hand off. Then I'd have to wear a headset, Kenny. But what happened is David Wilkerson's preaching and the gang leader, Nicky Cruz, shows up. And he's like, yo, preacher, don't come back tonight or I'm going to kill you. I'll cut you into 1,000 pieces. You know what David Wilkerson did? He ran home, stopped preaching the good news of Jesus. I lied. That's not true. And David Wilkerson looked at him and said, young man, every single piece of the 1,000 will still love you if you do that. I don't care about persecution. We shouldn't care about the persecution. Let them do it. It's a pat on the back that we're doing what God has called us to do. And can I tell you a truth? What God has empowered us to do or what God has called us to do, he's empowered us to do it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you will receive power to bear witness of me. He's given us power to do what he's asked us to do. It's not a single man mission. You don't have to run around on your own like James Bond, man. It's a co-mission with the most powerful force on earth called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave is now living inside of us, giving us a boldness and a power to share of his goodness that he died on the cross and he's coming back again. What he's called us to, he's empowered us to. Who do we share this good news with? Who do we take the risk for? Man, for your friends. You know the person you hate the most is the one you won't share the gospel with because you don't care about their eternity? To your friends, to your family, to the ones that you hate, to the ones that did you wrong, to the ones that don't look like you. It's not an enemy, it's an opportunity. By the way, I don't have enemies with people. I think it's foolish. We have one enemy, his name's the devil, and he's an idiot. Yes, but to a desperate world, man, we need to take a risk. And I didn't come today to, I hope you didn't feel like I'm beating you up. I came to awaken your heart that Jesus is coming and there's a risk we need to take. Not one of us, not the pastoral staff, not the teenagers, not the Bible college kids, not the small group leaders, not the coaches, not the teachers, not the people that go to Next Steps only, not the people that only go to groups. Every single one of us have been called to take a risk. To share the love of Jesus. To take the risk. See, the reality is we're not on a cruise ship. And we're not looking for a coin. We're searching for the lost so they can have an eternity in heaven with Jesus. How do you do this? Barna just put out a report. 40% of people prefer one-on-one conversations. You walk into that conversation, you don't need to be scared. You're the one with the power living inside you. It's dunamis, dynamite powers inside of you. Why would you be scared? They don't know what's about to hit them. And then 37% of people prefer to sit in a group setting. By the way, April 1st, tomorrow, through April 14th, if you're in a group, we have a soul-winning focus. I don't want you to show up alone. I want you to come ready, bringing a soul, bringing someone to hear about the goodness and the love of Jesus. That's how the majority of people like to hear about the gospel. Real quick, I just want you to take a moment. I'm almost done. Can you take your phone? Maybe you're taking notes. I don't know. I talk teenagers a lot, so I assume phones. Will you take your phone and open up your notes? And I want you to take the next 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and write down 5 names. Maybe on your paper, maybe on your phone. I'm going to write down 5 names that this week you're going to share Jesus with. Not share church, share Jesus with. 5 names. Go ahead and take the next 15 seconds, write those names down. If you don't know 5 people, go to the grocery store. If you don't know how to do it, Pastor Chad doesn't know, I'm going to make him hop on a Facebook Live probably Tuesday and we'll go through some practical how-to. It's easy. It's what you're made for. And then I want you to write notes real quick on this. This week our prayer needs to change too. Ready? I want you to pray for compassion this week. Because biblical compassion demands a biblical reaction. I want you to pray for conviction. Conviction isn't like, oh, I lived in sin. That's not what it always is. Pray for a conviction in your heart. For those 5 people. Pray for Holy Spirit boldness. That's what he's here for. One of the reasons. Pray for the opportunity to share with them. And lastly, pray to be made into a laborer. We're going to pray together over those names in just a second. But with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I told you I was ending. I'm not like Pastor. I got to ask you this question first. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, you know what? I think it's great that people need to share about Jesus, but I need Jesus. I don't know this Jesus, or I've walked away from this Lord. You tell eternity is real, and that's why we're here. We're here because we're serious about our eternity, but we're serious about others' eternity as well. today, maybe you don't serve Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. It's not by raising your hand only. It's not just saying the prayer that's the start. But that's what I want to encourage you with today. To start this walk or to get right with Jesus. If that's you and you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel God tugging on your heart saying, that's me, I need to get right. But just shoot your hand in the air right now saying, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Come on. Amen. Let's stand to our feet real quick. I'm not done. If you raise your hand, I'm going to invite you right up to the front. We're going to pray with you, give you a Bible. Go ahead and put your hands together for the man real quick. Amazing. It's the best decision you could ever make. Amen. Now, here's my challenge. 60,000 probably have never heard of Christ right in our backyard. You have 5 on your list. I want to make a commitment. It's something when somebody challenges you, but there's something different when you make a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to do it. So here's what I want you to do, and we're going to pray for Holy Spirit boldness. If you're saying, you know, I'm not just writing names down, but I'm committing this week to share the goodness of God with these 5 people. And I might not know how right now, but I'll get taught this week. But right now, I'm going to make the commitment for those 5. You already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to get right out of your seat. Make your way right up front. Why? Because if you can't make a commitment in a building full of people that want you to share Jesus, I don't know if you'll ever make a commitment. I don't know if you'll take the risk for others. We want to pray with you. I got a commitment song we're going to sing together. And we're going to turn a roar into a rumble. A rumble into a roar. Whoops. And we're going to rock this region for Jesus. Amen. If that's you, say it. I'm making the commitment today. Get out of your seat right now. Make your way up front. Come on. Right now, say, that's me. I don't care what the limitations are. I don't care who's going to judge me. I don't care what's in the way. I don't care. This is it. I'm today, from this day forward, I'm making a commitment to make an impact for eternity. If you're a pastor, you're on staff, we're going to start laying hands for folks so you guys can get right out of your seat. Jody, too. Come on, we're going to make a commitment. These 5, no one's safe this week. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to take the risk. God, give me compassion. Give me conviction. Give me opportunity. Give me boldness, Father, not to sit silent, but to realize the weight of eternity, that eternity is real. And Father, I'm going to make my impact. I'm going to not be silent in the streets. I won't hide in the church anymore. God, this is it. This is my commitment. Here's what we're going to do. Let's lift our hands so it's easier to pray. And we're going to sing this song, and we're going to come around and pray for you, and it's easy. I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is easy. I want you to make the commitment with this song. Sing that. I am not ashamed. Come on, will you turn her up in the main? Come on. The words are on the screen. I am not ashamed. I refuse to be ashamed. I won't be the least bit shy of the gospel that set me free. That's alive in me. I'm not ashamed. I'll win. I'll share the good news. And on and sing that like you mean it. Come on and sing that from the bottom of your heart. Come on and give it. Make that commitment. I'm not ashamed. I'll never be ashamed of the goodness, of the power, of the life that's alive in me. Put a hand up real quick. Come on, this is the commitment. I'm gonna win 5. No one's safe. I'm taking the risk this week. Come on, is that you? Will you give a shout real quick for God? Hey! Look, I love what we do here, but we're bringing it out. Amen? No one's safe. No one's safe. I'm taking the risk. I'm taking the risk. You ready? Man, I don't like to end stuff like this. I'm not good at it. Because I just want to be in the presence of God. But you know what the presence of God is for? You know the power of God isn't just to touch us. It's not just for us. It's through us. So here's where I'm not scared to end it. The power that's on you, don't be selfish and keep it. but put it off to somebody else today. You ready? Let them to win souls like never before. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and power. Thank you for opportunities, compassion, and conviction to turn the world upside down. In the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, give a shout. Amen. Go and win souls this week.